marketing companies go straight after making those dollars. And a lot of that has to do with unhealthy products that Americans are consuming. So when you go to those backwoods areas and you see unhealthy people, you should feel bad, because we're all of us in every country in different ways are a result of some type of manipulation. Because why? Because humans trust other humans and don't always think through the end goal that some of these players have. And those series are all on rise.tv, which you can gain access to just by supporting our work.
You're not going to go in most countries and go to the supermarket and you really see like Hostess can, or, you know,
Hostess,
it's not going to happen that way. And it's weird because I it's like, every time I go to like some kind of convenience store or something and I just want a snack, it's like everything's either full of sugar or just full of crap. It's like, you know, and then it's so funny. We have like, oh, here's the health food section of the grocery store. Then it's like, so you're saying nothing in this grocery store is actually healthy except for the section that says health food. Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, right? Like, everything we should eat, it should be healthy.
It should be nourishing for your body and give you energy. And
it's not, you know, and hardly any of these foods in conventional stores are like really healthy. And I would say that's really the crux of it. It isn't so much that, you know, it's like, well, why is America more overweight? Well, it's all about fast food, you know, convenience, fast food, and what tastes good. So,
yeah, and you know, it's not just food that is a danger for Americans. An Ohio man sparked mass panic as homemade nuclear reactor is found in his garage, prompting evacuation of 40 homes. This is what we were just talking about, right? Yeah, here. Dude. Of course it happened in Ohio. Why is Ohio such a scary place? Look at that. Oh my goodness. Where's the hazmat suits?
Like, this dude just developed a nuclear reactor in his garage. I mean, it's wild to think.
It's like the dangers of not watching TV are you get smart and start creating a nuclear reactor in your garage.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. It's crazy. Now, it did kind of explode, and so that's why they're had to.
I mean, so you see what I'm saying, though? This is why, in part, it's not safe for normal people to just go ahead and try to develop something like this, because there's so many dangers that can happen. Mm-hmm. There's a real potential cost of life that can occur. So I do understand that side. You have to understand that side of it too. It's not just a conspiracy all the time of people trying to get their, you know, homemade inventions kept from other people. Although that is a big part of it too, but you know, yeah. Don't go try to make a nuclear reactor in your garage is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And it's so this is kind of fascinating. There are videos on YouTube of people making nuclear fission and even a hydrogen. So this one guy created a hydrogen cold fusion plasma reactor. Let's do the cover up one. The one that you just clicked on, Lindsay. So this was a cold. So supposedly this is about, or not supposedly, but it's about a cold fusion cover up. And, you know, this was a big thing coming out of the 80s and even in the 90s about cold fusion. And supposedly they figured out cold fusion. And cold fusion is a very safe way because you don't have a high heat to make fusion. So with cold fusion, it's a very different process. So why don't we show, I want to show a little bit of this and this guy talking.
What we really had was a threat to the scientific establishment. The threat of it even being implied as real and having monies, shall we say, being diverted from their favored programs. And that was a threat. It was real. Overwhelmingly compelling, as I said, in Fire from Ice. It was real. Now it's 100% certain. In fact, what Pons and Fleischmann found was only the tip of an iceberg. But within weeks, the hot fusion people were going into action behind closed doors to disprove them. The difference between July 10th and 13th was dramatic. The raw data, excess heat. But then on the 13th, it was shifted completely. It was altered. They did some standard averaging, which was appropriate that is in time blocks, but the level of the signal had been utterly changed. It looked like monkey business to me at the time, and it has turned out to be exactly that. Scientific paper done under Department of Energy contract that had altered data, and that data is scientific fraud as far as I'm concerned. It was represented as a negative result when it was positive. The representation of the altered data as a negative was clear fraud. We know for a fact today that the cold fusion, low energy nuclear reactions are real. In a few instances, I can say there are clearly over-unity electromagnetic devices, things that produce more electrical energy out than in. Electromagnetic theory will require radical revision. The only way of approving any patent that resembles cold fusion is to eliminate the words cold fusion or anything like it. They no longer look at the data. Of course, they never really looked at the data. They had a bad frame of reference to begin with. They said it must work like hot fusion. Well, this was in a solid state. It's just like saying the equivalent of demanding that cold fusion works like hot fusion is like saying a transistor works like a radio tube. There must be this product or this radiation, or we're not going to believe it. The Wright brothers' airplane flew, and there was very much controversy about that from 1903 to 1908. One prominent critic who said it would never fly, it never would be real, could never be done. This one is particularly intense because of the threat to academic wisdom. There's nothing worse, I found, than suggesting to academic physicists in particular, and academics in general, that they are not only wrong, but disastrously wrong, catastrophically wrong.
You can pause it, Lindsay. So this guy is Eugene Malev, and he was part of the Department of Energy. And he blew the whistle on the cover up of cold fusion. And so specifically at MIT. And because basically, in a nutshell, what he's describing is cold fusion is a threat both to the scam of hot fusion, which was getting billions in funding, he was saying. And so they purposely altered their results of the cold fusion so regular fusion could push forward. And also, like he would, the point he was making is that cold fusion requires very little amount of energy to get it going, whereas regular fusion, you need a massive amount of energy to create the energy inside of it to get it hot enough to generate energy at that point. So he's saying
this guy points out something super important, which is the more that I've looked into and researched stuff, trust me, there's a whole lot of really weird, wacky stuff that they're hiding and all of that. But the human element to these things is more disastrous than even the conspiratorial part of the entire thing, because humans have such huge egos, especially in the scientific field. Mm-hmm. The entire field has been stewing for hundreds of years of just rejecting anything that offends someone. I mean, this is human nature. It goes all the way back thousands and thousands of years when they put Socrates to death for challenging the academics in Greece just by telling them that they didn't know anything. And this guy was just trying to have a simple conversation in their offices, and he ended up getting put to death. He had to drink poison for misleading the youth. That's how messed up that society was. That's the direction our society, by the way, is going right now. It hasn't quite got there yet, but it's almost exactly there. I mean, that's when you get guys like Socrates and Jesus getting put to death for having ideas that don't fit into what's socially acceptable in those cultures at the time. You know, exactly. And why would guys like Socrates and Jesus show up if those societies weren't rotten to begin with? Seriously.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And I feel like you're right. It's the same thing that's happening today. There's a there's this YouTube video that I saw, and the comments have been closed on it. But in the video, the guy claims that he created a hydrogen cold fusion plasma reactor. And he gets it working. And Lindsay, can you play. Yeah, you can. Okay, so in the this is a long video, but I just want to show this one part. But basically, he's kind of in the beginning of the video, he's kind of talking about how he created this, a little bit more detail, what it is, what it's doing, and everything. But this is kind of where he starts turning it on and talking about it a little bit. So you can play it right here.
Right resistance to make this experiment work. So we're making a little hydrogen. We're up the temperature. As you notice, our voltage is relatively low. Our amperage has dropped down. Now I'm going to go ahead and give it some more power. You can see on our what's up meter, we're using 92 to 94 watts of power. I'm going to turn it up. So now we're using a little more power. Our amperage is 2.5. Our volts is at 50. We're bubbling down there. Nothing special. Now, we are at 107 degrees. Now we're going to let her have it. There's our reaction. You can notice we're at 250 volts. Our amperage is going anywhere from 3 to 2. And that's the fusion process that supposedly is impossible. That's 182 Fahrenheit.
It's not even that hot. That's why it's called cool fusion.
1.75 to 2 amps fluctuating. 260 volts. And the temperature is going up slowly. Steam is starting to come out. We're steaming the water. In only a few seconds of action.
Wild.
And it sounds cool too. Here, get a closer sound of that.
Yeah, okay.
I have feelings about this because it's like part of me wishes that more people would come out and just make fun of these academics.
Yeah.
And do stuff like this. But the other part of me is like, it's just, these things can be dangerous too, you know?
Exactly. I mean, well, and that's, that. I think that's,
so, I mean, think about how many people have killed themselves trying to fly, or, you know, it's like the flat earther who blasted himself into the sky to try to prove. There's so many ways to see whether or not there's a bend to the horizon. You don't have to missile yourself into the sky and the guy ends up dying. You know, it's like stupidity brought to a new level, you know?
Well, I think the point of this is that, okay, these people are making this in a basement, you know, just with crude materials. So imagine like if a company would
wanted to do something responsible, I guess
they could easily do this, you know, it's kind of like, why aren't
because of big oil though, Ben.
Yeah.
And it's not. And the thing is, though, is oil isn't necessarily bad. It's not as bad as they're telling us. It's a fine. It's a fine fuel to burn. There's plenty of it, literally plenty of it. I mean, if you do the math, if you actually go out there and you look into it, we'll never run out of oil.
We won't. They don't even know where it came from. They keep saying fossil fuels, but then it's that was a term created by the Rockefeller.
That's why it's not fossil fuels. It's a substance that the Earth naturally creates. It's probably creating it all the time, and it's there for humans. So go ahead and use it. You know, there's ways that the Earth has to heal itself from the usage of those things naturally with trees, just trees. Growing more trees will fix the carbon problem, you know, or the methane problem, whatever they are claiming is going on.
Whatever the problem is now. Yeah. Well,
One more thing, Ben, before you go on, I wanted to mention is like everything that we're talking about tonight reminds me a lot of Amy Eskridge, who was developing anti-gravity. She was getting funding to develop anti-gravity technology down in Huntsville, Alabama, because Huntsville, Alabama is where all the technology, if you're for lack of a better way to say it, a technologist or someone interested in things like anti-gravity or exotic type of propulsion, a lot of people moved down there. And she was, it seems to me like this was the hill she was going to die on. She was getting phone calls all the time telling her to stop what she was doing. She was publicly stating this. Wasn't me saying this. And she just kept developing this stuff. And then you know, she dies in her early 30s.
Wow.
It's very, very sad. She was a very bright human being, but for some reason, this was something she just wasn't going to let go. And then she ends up getting on the radar of the wrong players, and there's no longer an Amy Eskridge out there gracing the world with her brilliance, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I've encountered her name and her story or not. It kind of vaguely sounds familiar, but I'm not sure. So that's wild. So yeah, sad.
Super sad. Super sad. I mean, this is all about anti-gravity stuff. She was even like, there are multiple lectures online of her presenting to groups of people where she's explaining how to get funding and where the funding comes from, how a lot of billionaires don't just want to be known for creating like a fried chicken place, and they start putting their money into these sort of interesting experiments and things like that. I mean, just take Robert Bigelow with Bigelow Aerospace and stuff like that. I mean, that's not strange, right? That stuff does happen. And then they start funding something like this. It gets on the radar of the wrong person, and a lot of people start disappearing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what, like, that Eugene guy we were just showing, who the whistleblower. So he was killed in 2004 during a reported robbery.
Yeah, and, it was a robbery. Sure, it was. Yeah. That wasn't a hit.
The official investigation concluded it was a robbery related murder. No direct evidence ties to his death to cold, you know, I mean, that was the official statement, was that, oh, it was just a random robbery. And it's like, well, that just seems too
convenient of an excuse. Yeah. I know what you mean.
No, it kind of does. The last person that I want to talk about before we jump over is, Stanley Meyer. And he actually did develop a water-powered car, and he spent 20 years building a working electric water fuel cell for his car. The pollution was zero, because it was like water vapors. Just coming out of the car. That's it. And this is an article in a local newspaper at the time talking about, did he die because he was able to turn water into fuel. On March 1998, him and his brother, supposedly the story is that him and his brother were meeting investors and interested in buying his design. They made a toast with the investors. And then he couldn't breathe. And supposedly he yelled something like, they poisoned me, and he fell down and died. So,
yeah, I just want to emphasize this again. If you're smart enough to create an anti-gravity engine, if you're smart enough to create plastiline
water or
a water engine, you're brilliant. You're amazing. But the world is a better place with you in it. Please do not think that there are not people that are going to be affected by those things. It's much more important to have you in the world than for you to prove your point that you can do something amazing. Like, you're amazing already, and the world needs you. So please don't do something like that. Just be smarter than.
Yeah, just be safe. If anyone out there is creating this stuff or you're posting it, like, just do it somewhere where no one knows.
Yeah, when you get into stuff like that, it's too risky. Right. Yeah, so just be, if you're watching and you're one of these people, which you may be, just please take care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully that Julian Brown guy will be okay. It sounds like, you know, he's just kind of in hiding right now, because probably,
Yeah, we don't know what's going on, but the problem is that he's getting a lot of endorphins from doing this and all the followers and all of that stuff. And it's just, yes. That's great. You're brilliant, but it's not worth losing your life over. You know, go get a job at GM or with that gasoline company and just do your thing, you know?
Mm. True. All right, you guys. Well, we're going to jump over to go over to rise.tv and head over there and leave everywhere else we're streaming. So you can join us once again for just $12.99 a month and support what we do over on rise.tv, where, once again, we have over 1,000 episodes. along with other content creators. And at the end of every show, we do a live Q&A, and you can ask us your questions directly in our live chat. And we have, and at the end of every Tuesday show, we always do a meditation slash prayer before the end of the show as well. And don't forget your delicious bag of metaphysical coffee if you want your mornings to be interstellar. So once again, you can go to metaphysicalcoffee.com or find everything under Rise TV with a special deal about coffee and a monthly subscription. But okay, so we're going to show a trailer and then we'll see you guys over there.
From a haunted doll that won't go away,
to the mysterious disappearance of a college student,
from the infamous Stanley Hotel,
to a message in a tombstone,
there's plenty to keep you up at night, so sit back, grab a friend, and huddle up by the campfire, because these stories will chill you to the bone.
In this episode of Edge of Wonder, join us as we get spookier and peer into the paranormal world.
Our world is full of mysteries, unexplained phenomena, metaphysical encounters, and of course, divine miracles that can't be explained.
And they might just leave you frozen in fear, like our first mystery on the list, the haunted Elsa doll.
Get your questions ready, because it's time for our live Q&A session, exclusively on Rise.TV.